Okay. It's nice to be here. It's nice to see all of you. It's an enjoyable end to a trip. It's very enjoyable and relaxing to see everyone here. I was a little apprehensive, but I see these faces here, and just things, I know things go well. Today, I'd like to speak about, if you can title this sermon, from Matthew 5:14-16, Let Your Light So Shine. We're going to use a lighthouse as an example, how our light should shine, and then we're going to go into scriptures, how your light should shine spiritually. This lighthouse is an actual replica of the lighthouse at Cape Hatteras, North Carolina. Now, if you're not familiar with the Cape Hatteras, if you look on a map, you'll see from, like, say, Virginia on down, and all of a sudden there's a thin strip of land goes out. And it goes out, it almost touches the Gulf Stream coming up. And that's where it's about 180 miles long, I think. And a lot of activity goes on down there. The first time that my wife and I went there was in 1963. We got married. And at that time, it was very vacant down there. You know, we didn't know some of the things about it, that a storm previous year had cut the land in two. So we went down there, and you had to take a ferry boat to get onto the land initially. But then all of a sudden, when we see signs that it ends and we couldn't go any further, the road was washed out from a storm previously that came up the coast and even did such damage to the Jersey coast, but down there it cut this in half. Well, that wasn't too bad. I thought, well, do we have to go back? No, we didn't have to go back. They had certain type ferry boats that came up right on the beach, and you had to drive your car down like an LST, I guess, in the service, load up. To go that 100 yards, it took 2.5 hours on the ferry boat. They had to go way out to Pamlico Sound and around. Well, we continued to go there till 1998, off and on, because that was one of the nicest places for a primitive vacation. We took the kids down there, and Dave, you probably know Dave Haver, and Cammie Haver, his sister, and Brother John, and we really had a ball. We camped right on the beach. You build fires at night. You had rangers down there that took you and did things with you. They had one called Boogie with a Ranger. He brought boogie boards along and showed you how to ride the waves in. And it was very primitive. But we also were there one year, and nobody told us about it, but the storm that, you probably remember the storm that flooded Wilkes-Barre, and back in 1972, well, maybe, I'm not that old. But anyhow, it flooded, did a lot of damage in our area and Wilkes-Barre. Well, anyhow, that started down there, and before we knew it, we had hurricane winds. But the rangers came through and said, it'd probably be a good idea to take your tent and bury it in the sand and get in your vehicle, you know. And that we did. And our daughter Cammie had one of her friends along. So we spent the night in a rocking Suburban. But we had many enjoyable vacations there. And that went on, off and on, as much as we could. And one year, my wife and I built a boat, a 16-foot boat. 1,200 brass screws went in there. She did most of that, put them in there, spackled and all that stuff, whichever you do. And we took a boat ride over from Ocracoke over to Portsmouth Island. And Dave often speaks of that because we shouldn't have done that because the waves, I never saw anything like that. All of a sudden the boat was up like this and it was down. Then we got to the island, no one lives there, but I think five people maybe. And it was inhabited during the war, I guess about 1,500 people at one time. So anyhow, we had some quite very good experiences there. But actually, of all the vacations, as we went down there, the centerpiece was the Cape Hatteras Lighthouse. We never failed to climb it. Now, this lighthouse is 196 feet high, weighs 4,600 tons, made of brick. The last time we were down there was 1998-99. They were moving it because the ocean was going to take it. And that was something to see. You couldn't see it move. It moved very slowly, 5 feet at a time, you know, very slowly. They had like five huge rails with hydraulic things on pushing it. And they finally, we didn't know this at the time, but there was strong winds. And I was talking to one of the engineers. He said, yes, we have to watch it. He said, something at the top, because if that goes too far, you know, we're in trouble. So they did get it moved to a new position, half mile away. It was amazing to see something like that move. But one of the things that was a little funny about it, there was all the time that we went down there, there was a motel called the Lighthouse View Motel. And when they moved it, the man tried to stop them from moving it because his view disappeared. There was no more Lighthouse View Motel. He couldn't have it, couldn't see the lighthouse, you know. So that was the funny part about it. But why is this so important? This is the most famous lighthouse in the United States, but why? Well, if you look on your map and you see the Outer Banks, Gulf Stream comes right up there, and right offshore is called the Diamond Shoals, and that's the graveyard of the Atlantic. Thousands of ships have gone down there, especially back in the 1700s and 1800s when they first started, before they had lighthouses, these sailing ships. There's so many, they couldn't even count them anymore. And that's what started up this lighthouse. And they had a fire on a beach. That's how they started the warning. Big bonfires. But pirates would come along and put those fires out so that the ship would crack, you know. And you'll see how that happens later on when you talk spiritually, you know. So anyhow, during the Second World War, the German submarines would leave over there in Europe and head straight for here for one reason. The ships had to hug the coast coming up because the Gulf Stream... or coming down, because the Gulf Stream is 4 miles an hour. They stayed inside coming down and with the Gulf Stream coming out, so they were close to the coast. They sank many oil tankers there. The beaches became oil slicked and so forth. It was really something to see. It was ugly like tar and so forth. But anyhow, that was the one of the things about it. Let's see where I go from here. Let's see. There's a lot of oil tankers sunk and so forth. Now we're going to get into the lighthouse itself. What you see here is the lighthouse. This stripes around it identify it from the sea. They could identify this lighthouse as, this is Cape Hatteras, North Carolina. Every lighthouse has different markings around it. But at night, you had to have a light. That's what we're going to get into. The most important thing about, the lighthouse keeper. There's got to be the most dedicated man ever in the lighthouses. He and his family, if he had a family, would be living there. And they had one job. Their biggest job was, that light had to be lit from sunset to sunrise. It had to be ready 10 a.m. in the morning. What did he have to do that? What was his job entail? Well, at that time they burned maybe whale oil, all kinds of oil, lanterns, you know, and they had reflectors in there. The whole inside had to be scrubbed, you know, polished, the lenses, the outside glass, inside and out, had to be cleaned. It was an awesome job, and that's what they had to do each day. So one of the things The most important part of the lighthouse, then, is the lens, the reflector, and the light. Put that down. We'll be talking about that later spiritually. The lens, the light, and the reflector. Much work was needed. They had to keep that perfect. Now, can you imagine carrying oil, all these cleaning things to the top of almost 20 stories, no elevators, almost 20 stories every day? That's quite a job. A lighthouse keeper was very poorly paid. They had to be really dedicated. Suppose he got sick. His wife had to do that. His wife would have to go up, carry things up, and clean. Can you imagine that today? But you know what? It didn't seem to bother them. Because after all, it was light housekeeping. But all kidding aside, when a man was that sick, there was no excuse that light had to still be lit. And a lot of times, the women would have to do it. Was one other thing, too, that they also took part in, which was, I don't know how they did it, but there was houses of refuge. In other words, can you imagine waves coming in, maybe a storm 25 foot high? Some ships didn't make it, even with light, they didn't make it, and they crashed, and they went down and rescued them. Can you imagine that, rescuing them? Talking about dedication, you know. That was one of the biggest things there. Then they also had a life-saving station. It was a different group of men right nearby that would actually go out. And they said the waves sometimes were so high, they had special boats, five-man crew. It would stand up so high that you could see the inside of the boat and see what was inside. That's how high the waves were down there. That is one of the roughest, probably, sections on the East Coast. And because of the Gulf Stream coming up, the ships will ride the Gulf Stream up because they save 4 miles an hour. But coming down, they don't want to be in that, you know, so they hug the coast, and that's where these diamond shoals. It's a very interesting part. I have something I think that'll sum it up. George Bernard Shaw, he was a playwright. He wrote, and this is out in a lighthouse, it's on a stand at a lighthouse out in California. George Bernard Shaw said, "I can think of no other edifice constructed by man as altruistic as a lighthouse. They were built to only serve. They were not built for any other purpose. A lighthouse, a lighthouse without a light is of no value." Now, in case you're like me, altruistic, you probably know what that is. I didn't know what it was, so I looked it up. It means selfless, devoted to the welfare of others. That's what the lighthouse and the lighthouse keeper had to be, devoted to others. Now, I'd like to get into, how should our light shine spiritually? Thinking about there's so much more I could tell you about the lighthouse, but at this point, I don't want to go any further than that. But how should our light shine spiritually, and why should it? Let's turn to Matthew 5 and verses 14 to 16. I think you're very familiar with that. Do I need my glasses? That's the first thing to go. I think I better put them on, I think. Matthew 5, 14 to 16. I think you're all familiar. "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and give it light unto all that are in the house." Then you get strictly from Jesus Christ telling us, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Well, that's a good reason to let your light shine, I would think. Let's take another scripture. 1 John 5 to 7. 1 John verses 5 to 7. Verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Remember how the pirates would knock the light out? Well, Satan can do that too. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses from all sin. I have one more scripture in that area. Philippians 2, verses 13. I think that's the one. Yeah, we'll start in verse 13 and continue on a little bit. Philippians 2, verse 13. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmuring and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. That's something that we have to always keep in mind. Now, how this is going to be the last part of it. How should it shine spiritually? Remember, the light in the lighthouse shines in a certain sector. Usually covers dangerous areas or, you know. And one thing about a light is basically comforting. And the lighthouse light is silent. And I lived on Nantucket Island in the 30s. My brother and I, we had three lighthouses up there. And the one light used to come right in the bedroom. And it was, as a child, it was very comforting. And that's one thing about the light. It shines, it's comforting. But it usually covers dangerous areas. So how should it shine spiritually? Well, let's turn to 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 3. Second Corinthians 4, let's see, maybe. Let's start in verse 3, and we'll read till verse 7. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light, in verse 6, to shine out of darkness, has shined in your hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. And where does that reflect? It reflects in the face of Jesus Christ. In other words, it will be... Go into the following verse in a minute, but it reflects, it's not us. We're a light. People are probably very comforted by what you do to help and so forth like that. But in the long run, it should reflect in the face of Jesus Christ. Why? In verse 7, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels. We're just clay. That the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. So that's the reason, and you'll see that as far as the reflection, like the lighthouse, you know, everything has got to be perfect. It has to shine a certain way. It has to reflect and so forth. And by the way, all lighthouses today are automatic. You know, they use airplane beacons, beacon lights up there in those. They're not manned anymore. But back in the 1700s and 1800s, they were. So that there is a very important scripture. But what, I added something else here. What is the end result? The end result of the whole thing of letting your light shine and God's Spirit in you. What is the end result? Let's go to Galatians 5:22. I know you're all familiar with that. Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another or envying one another. So that's going to be the end of the sermon. So my question will be, or my ending result will be, let your light so shine.